Nehemiah chapter number, I think we're going to be in chapter number 6 tonight. Let me see where we're going to be here. Yes, chapter number 6, and then actually chapter number 4, verse number 19 as well. I guess we'll be in chapter 4 more than we will chapter 6, but let's start reading in verse number 17. They which build it on the wall, chapter 4, verse 17, Nehemiah. They which build it on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Brother Houston, you used to lay block and brick for a living. If you had to have a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand, that'd make it a lot more difficult, wouldn't it, brother? He usually had, I guess, a block in one hand or a brick in one hand, the trowel in the other hand. And perhaps, you know, the guy laying the stone up on the wall was laying it up and had a sword in one hand. This is what they had to do to protect themselves. And I said unto the nobles, to the rulers, to the rest of the people, the work is great and large. We've been going through and talking about in this book a great need, a great God that will meet a great need. We looked this morning and talking about the fact that there was great opposition or there was great indignation against the work of God. And tonight I want to talk about a great work. The Bible called it right here, said the work is great and large. And we are separated upon the wall, one far from the other. Now look at verse number 3 in chapter number 6. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work. Now I want to propose a question tonight. Why does Nehemiah call this a great work? Why does he call it a great work? What is a great work? So that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? So I'd like to concentrate tonight, making something great. There's going to have to be some great work involved. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I pray tonight that you would help us. Lord, I pray that you would help our people to get home safely tonight. And Lord, I pray that in this meeting that, Lord, though it's cold outside, that you would warm our hearts. I pray you teach us something from the Bible tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd take care of the families tonight who are bereaved. Be real close to Brother Thurman and Sister Debbie tonight. Lord, they haven't been here a real long time, but they sure have been a blessing. And I appreciate them. I pray, Lord, for Sister Donna's family tonight, God, that you'd bless them. Lord, I know that in the world you'll have tribulation. But Lord, you said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And Lord, I know that a man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But Lord, I thank you that at the end of the line, for the child of God, the trouble's over. And Lord, I pray that until then you'd help us to look up and, Lord, to look unto Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to give you something tonight. I've just got some simple thoughts in front of me tonight. And talking about this great work. The first thing I want to say in the message tonight, it's a great work because it's God's work. There's not a greater work on the face of the earth than God's work. Now let me, I'm going to read an illustration in a minute tonight that might help us to understand a little bit more clearly what I'm trying to say. These people are working on a wall in Jerusalem, and they're trying to close up the breaches. There's gaps in the wall, and they're trying to hang the gates, and they're trying to rebuild that which has been torn down, that which has been burned down. And in the Bible, this morning we looked, they ridiculed and they mocked. They said, well, if a fox would run into that. I tell you, Brother John, if you're building a wall, or Brother Houston, if you were laying up block and somebody come along and said, well, if a fox run into that, it would knock it down. I mean, that's offensive. Amen. If you're building it out of 2x4s and sheetrock and plywood, or if you're building it out of block or brick, if you're building a wall, it's going to take something more than a fox, surely, to knock it down. But they kept on going. It was a great work, and it was a great work because it was God's work. Let me say this about the wall right here that we're looking at. There's a foundation. Now, when you're looking at the spiritual side of things, thank God there is a foundation, and that foundation is Christ. In a wall, there has to be a cornerstone. And thank God that cornerstone tonight is Christ. But thank God tonight, the Bible said in the book of Peter, ye then as lively stones. Now, if you look up the meaning of the word lively, it means living. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's what God calls us, lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. Aren't you glad the church is on the right foundation? Aren't you glad we can look over there and see the cornerstone, the Lord Jesus? Aren't you glad God picked us up out of the muck and the mire and put us in the church of the living God and put us in a wall that will stand forever, amen, that structure that we call the church. It's a great work because it's God's work. But tonight I want to leave this in your heart. We're going to move on to these other things in just a moment. But I hope tonight this illustration that I'm about to read to you will help to leave a mark in your heart about God's work. I think so many times when we think or hear the words God's work, we automatically think church. And yes, that's God's work. Or maybe, Brother Steve, we automatically think soul winning or visitation. And yes, that's God's work. Maybe we automatically think of a pastor or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. And yes, all of those are God's work. But let me tell you something. I believe after I read this illustration, you'll understand more clearly. Everything that we do as God's people is supposed to be done heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. We're supposed to do all that we do to the glory of God. And that means, beloved, if you name the name of Christ and you're a Christian and you're washing your car, you ought to want to get all the dirt off of it. You ought not to want to leave a big old spot on the side of it. You ought to want, now listen, that doesn't mean that things like that don't happen, but it means that whatever we're doing, that we ought to want to do the very best that we can do, and the reason behind that is for the glory of God Almighty. Listen to this. It's a little bit lengthy. The Bible said, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. What would happen if Christians in America that have a job stopped complaining and started thanking God that they have a job? What would happen? Amen? And then the Bible said, Colossians 2:23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. Here's the illustration. When I was a boy, and this is H.A. Ironside. When I was a boy, I felt it was both a duty and a privilege to help my widowed mother make ends meet by finding employment in vacation time. On Saturdays and other times when I did not have to be in school, for quite a while I worked for a Scottish shoemaker, or cobbler, they were called. And he was an Orkney man named Dan Mackay. He was a forthright Christian, and his little shop was a real testimony for Christ in the neighborhood. The walls were literally covered with Bible texts and pictures, generally taken from old-fashioned scripture sheet almanacs, so that everywhere one would look, he found the Word of God staring him in the face when you went in this little shop. John 3:16, John 5:24, John 10:9, many more. On the little counter in front of the bench on which the owner of the shop sat was a Bible, generally open, and a pile of gospel tracts. No package went out of that shop without a printed gospel tract wrapped inside. And whenever opportunity offered, the customers were spoken to kindly, tactfully, about the importance of being born again. Sounds like old Brother Mitchell, don't it, Brother Brian? He's talking about this morning, amen? Might have been in a shoe shop to get your shoes a little quicker in this generation. You go talking about Jesus, amen? And here he is, the blessedness of knowing that the soul is saved through faith in Christ. Many came back to ask for more literature or to inquire more particularly as to how they might find peace with God, with the blessed results that men and women were saved frequently right in the shoe shop. It was my chief responsibility to pound leather for shoe soles. I never knew about this till I read it.
Never knew about the process. A piece of cowhide would be cut to suit, then soaked in water. I had a flat piece of iron over my knees, and with a flat-headed hammer, I pounded the soles until they were hard and dry. It seemed an endless operation to me, and I wearied of it many times. What made my task worse was the fact that a block away, there was another shop that I passed going and coming to or from my home, and in it sat a jolly, godless cobbler who gathered the boys of the neighborhood about him and told lewd tales that made him dreaded by respectable parents as a menace in the community. Yet somehow he seemed to thrive. And perhaps David could tell us about that in the Psalms, couldn't he? How the wicked man just sometimes seems to thrive. But he seemed to thrive, and perhaps to a greater extent than my employer, Mackay. As I looked in his window, often noticed that he never pounded the soles at all. He took them straight from the water, nailed them on, as damp as they were, with the water splashing from them as he drove each nail. One day I ventured inside, something I had been warned never to do. I'd say his mama told him, "You don't go in there." Timidly, I said, "I noticed that you put the soles on while they're still wet. And are they just as good as if they were pounded?" He gave me a wicked leer as he answered, "They come back all the quicker this way, my boy." Feeling I had learned something, I related the instance to my boss and suggested that I was perhaps wasting my time drying out the leather so carefully. Mr. Mackay stopped his work, opened his Bible to the passage that reads, "Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." "Harry," he said, "I do not cobble shoes just for the 4 bits and 6 bits, that's 50 cents or 75 cents that I get from my customers." He said, "I am doing this for the glory of God. I expect to see every shoe I have ever repaired in a big pile at the judgment seat of Christ. And I do not want the Lord to say to me in that day, 'Dan, that's a poor job. You did not do your best here.' I want him to be able to say, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" Then he went on to explain that just as some men are called to preach, so he was called to fix shoes. And that only as he did this well would his testimony count for God. It was a lesson I've never been able to forget. Often when I have been tempted to carelessness and to slipshod effort, I have thought of dear, devoted Dan Mackay, and it has stirred me up to seek to do all for him who died to redeem me. I say, bless the Lord. Amen. What would happen in America if every child of God took that attitude to work in the morning, and Tuesday morning, and Wednesday morning, and Thursday morning, and Friday morning? What would happen in America? Amen. I tell you, beloved, listen, it's God's work. That's why it's a great work. If you're making pies, that's God's work. Do it to the best of your ability. If you're mopping the floor, it's God's work. It doesn't matter what we're doing. As Christians, God said, do it all to the glory of God Almighty. I'm not going to mention the mechanic. I'm not trying to slam anybody, but it came to my heart, and I'm going to say it. We took the van, the old red van, Miss Rhonda, I believe she's named, took her down to Sargoinsville and found out some things. The heat wasn't working in the back of it because it was 2 gallons low on antifreeze. Now listen, when you take a vehicle in to get it serviced, if somebody was looking at it with that attitude, this is God's work. And certainly because it's got Bible Way Baptist Church all the way down the side of it, that ought to help, that ought to be a hint anyway. And certainly somebody ought to be able to check the fluid levels in something like that. Help me. Amen. And somebody ought to be able to check the transmission fluid. When the transmission fluid, the man told me, he said, "I don't know how it pulled out of its own tracks." He said, "There was hardly any fluid in the transmission." He said, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say it doesn't matter if you're a mechanic. It doesn't matter, beloved, if you're a mason, you're laying blocks and brick. It doesn't matter if you're laying carpet. It doesn't matter if you're painting. It doesn't matter if you're roofing. It doesn't matter if you're preaching. It don't matter if you're teaching. We ought to do all that we do to the glory of God Almighty. That's what we ought to do. And I believe that. It's a great work because it's God's work. I heard a preacher say years ago, I never have forgotten it. He said, if you're picking cotton, he said, you'd be the best cotton picker. I had to think about that for just a minute. Amen. He said, if that's what you're doing, if you're picking cotton, then you'd be the best cotton picker. And I think there's something to that. Amen. Do your best, whatever it is. It's God's work. I believe these people here this day in the book of Nehemiah, they realized it was a great work because it was God's work. It wasn't easy work, but it was God's work. And then let me give you this. Look at chapter 4, verse number 6. I'm going to try to hurry, Brother Houston. Amen. Amen. Brother Houston ain't even going to look up at me on that one. Amen. He thinks I'm picking on him now. Amen. He's convinced I've done God in the flesh. Amen. And they have. Amen. I love my brother. Number two, it's a great work because it's God's work. But number two, look at verse number 6 in chapter 4. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together into the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Listen to me carefully right here. This is important. Any church, it's very important. It's a great work because it involved God's people. A pastor that does not understand that he needs God's people and that does not want God's people to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and receive a reward and hear him say, well done, is not worth his salt. Beloved, there's more to this thing than the pulpit. Help me tonight, amen. It's a great work because it's God's work, but it's a great work because it involved, the Word of God said right there, Nehemiah wanted us to know, hey, it's not just in my heart, it's not just in my mind, but God's people have a mind to work. I love that. It involved God's people. Beloved, let me tell you something tonight. If you ever want to get just really discouraged, lay the work of God down. You ever want to get really discouraged? Just do whatever you're doing half-heartedly. It won't be long. You'll be so discouraged. You know, the engine, when a spark plug starts maybe fouling out a little bit, or one of the wires has got a little break in it, it starts out and the engine will be missing. But honey, if you don't address it, it won't be long and the engine will quit. How many knows I just told the truth? God's people are the same way. Amen. We need to be involved in the work of God. Thirdly, it's a great work, not only because it was God's work, but it's a great work because it involved God's people. But it's a great work, thirdly, because it proved God's people. What do you mean, preacher? Well, how many understands that Abraham's faith was tested? Here in the Bible, I'm going to be very brief. I'm not going to read all of the text. But the people of God are being proven in chapter 4 in the battle. They're being proven. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Nehemiah said, hey, gather together. Fight for your brethren. Fight. Amen. Look at it here, if you will, in verse number 19. I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, to the rulers, to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord. If we would just remember the Lord. Remember when we were preaching about the children of Israel, how they were murmuring, how they were complaining, how swiftly they forgot the Lord. But Nehemiah said, remember the Lord. Be not afraid of them. The Lord is great and terrible. And fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Every time I come to that verse, I want to stop and say this. There are some things in this world that are not worth fighting for. But honey, there are some things in this world that are worth fighting for. And here, the Word of God tells us they were proved. It was a great work because it proved God's people. They had what it took. Look at verse 23. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, save that everyone put them off for washing. If I'm reading that correctly, when they got to stinking so bad, Brother Rose, that they couldn't stand one another, they'd stop long enough to take her clothes off and wash them and put them back on and go back to work for the glory of God. Their character was proven in this time of building in the book of Nehemiah. And then it was proven not only in the battle, but if you look at chapter 5, verse 1, there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. it was a great work, because it was proven not only in the battle, but it was proven among the brethren. Let me stop and say something tonight. I think this is worthy of saying. I didn't plan on saying it. I try to be led of the Lord. But you'll never know, you and I will never know what you really have in a friendship till it's tested. When a friendship is tested, I'm going to tell you what, Abraham knew, honey, when he come down off that mountain, what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. And when God's people, among the brethren, as sometimes there are tests that come, and if we can just stand true to God and stand true one to another, the test will not destroy us. It'll develop us and it'll make us stronger than we ever have been for the glory of God Almighty. It's God's work, because it proved God's people. Then in verse number 22, this will be number 4, it's a great work because it protected God's people. Look at verse number 22. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. Let me tell you, the safest place for God's people to be is right in the middle of God's work. It was a great work because the work that was being accomplished protected God's people. I believe with all of my heart tonight that, you know, I'm trying to remember the story. Maybe somebody could help me. Was it Elisha that said, Lord, open his eyes? He said, alas, my master. Remember what his servant said, alas, my master, how shall we do? And I believe it was Elisha. It might have been Elijah. I'm not positive. I believe it was Elisha. And Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes. And the Bible said he could see round about them, amen, that God had the situation under control. Amen. I tell you tonight, God has the situation under control. He's going to take care of his own. And then lastly tonight, it was a great work because it unified God's people. Let me tell you something right now. Watch this. How many remembers when Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Many times, and it can be applied, there's a spiritual application there to the sinners. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's also a spiritual application there to the saints. He said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Brother David, anybody that's running around saying it's just so hard to serve the Lord have not learned the truth in that text. I'm going to tell you something. The way of a transgressor is hard. And if God's people are ever caught trying to pull outside the yoke or pull in a different direction than Jesus and his yoke is going, then that is hard. That is difficult. But if you get in the yoke with Jesus, the yoke of oxen, the Bible would talk about, it takes two oxen and puts them with the same purpose in the same field, going in the same direction at the same speed, and that they get the job done that way. And God says tonight that if you and I will get in the yoke with him and go in the same direction at the same speed in the same field, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's a joy tonight to work in God's work. It's a great work because it unifies God's people. If you look at verse 15 on down, the Bible said our enemies heard. It was known to us. God brought their counsel to naught. We returned all of us to the wall. Everyone. Notice that right there. It didn't say some of us. It said all of us returned to the work. You remember, these are stories that are coming to me while I'm preaching tonight. I believe it was, oh my goodness, I can't remember the text now. There's so many things going in my mind right now. But there was I know where it was. I believe it was Joshua chapter number 8. After the great victory at Jericho. Do y'all remember that? Then they went down to Ai. And they said this. Said, take not all the men. Don't take them all. Why, just, you know, a few hundred of us. I'm paraphrasing now. You can look at the number in the Bible. But we don't all need to go. And they went up there and they got whooped. They got whooped because there was sin in the camp. They got whooped because they underestimated the enemy. Amen. But let me give you this. If you read the next chapter, all of the men of war went to get the job done. They all went in that next chapter. I believe it's a mistake tonight for anybody to think or to believe that all of God's people are not important. We just need this one and we just need that one. No, the work of God is great because it unifies God's people. It pulls them together. It helps them to understand that whether they're a little youngin' in the children's church or whether they're teaching the children's church, whether they're teaching Sunday school, whether they're playing an instrument, whether they're leading the choir, everybody's important in the work of God. Watch this now. He said, everyone to the work. Came to pass from that time forth, half my servants wrought in the work. The other half of them held the spears, the shields, the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which built it on the wall that bare burdens with those that laid it. Everyone with his one hand, one of his hands wrought in the work, with the other hand held a weapon for the builders. Everyone had his sword girded by his side. Everybody knows what that sword represents spiritually. The Word of God. You better have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and so build it. He that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, to the rulers, to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we're separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. Let me just stop and say this tonight, and I'm done. God wants us to be unified now. God wants us to be unified in the work now. I'm going to tell you something right now. You can mark down what I'm about to say. The church of the living God will be unified when the trumpet sounds. You can mark that down, honey. She'll be unified. Somebody said, well, I wish churches would work together. That's what we're going to be trying to do. Amen. But I'll just tell you this. When the trumpet sounds, we'll be leaving out together. Every blood-washed saint of God will be gathering together, amen, in that new Jerusalem. Everybody will be gathered with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All of us. Verse 21, so we labored in the work. Half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. I believe with all of my heart, Jesus is coming again, don't you? You know where I want to be found? I want to be found involved in His great work. I want to be involved in His great work. I want to be doing what I do. Listen, there are times, I'm being honest with you. There are times I wish I didn't preach so long. That's the truth. And I could name some names if you want them. Come to me after church and I'll tell you who they are. That's always telling me. We never even noticed. I got through a while back preaching about the gates. And somebody said, I wish there was 10 more gates. I tell you something, that blesses the pastor's heart. But all I'm trying to do is come to this pulpit and give you what He's given me. That's all I've ever known. And I believe there's a bunch of people that don't mind around this church. Just tell us what He gave you, preacher. Amen. That's why I make some notes, because I don't have enough mind, brother, when He's given it to me, to remember what He's given me. So as He gives it to me, I jot down some notes that I might make it to the pulpit with the thought that God has put in my heart. Are you glad you saved tonight? Are you glad there's a great work going on the face of the earth tonight? It's God's work. It's a great work. Let's let God just pull us, not apart, but just pull us together. The devil wants to pull us apart. He wants to blow us apart. Let's just let God continue to pull us together. You know, Brother Houston, the other day when Brother Brad sent me that text, I could have just looked at that and said, eh. I'm not bragging. Don't listen to me. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you the Holy Spirit's at work. The Holy Spirit wouldn't let me say, eh. It was so much as saying, hey, we're trying to get churches together. We want God to move in our community. You know what I could say? That's what we won't do. We want God to move. We want to see a move of God. And then I believe with all my heart it's going to go further and further and further. And it remains to be seen what God can do. I was telling somebody, was it you, Brother Larry, that told me this morning when there was a great move of God back in the 80s? That's what happened. Churches got together. And anymore, listen, I'm not saying this in a critical way. I'm just saying it in a factual way. It's hard to get half of your own people to show up for a revival meeting, let alone somebody else's people come in and support the meeting. But if we'll get together, we'll pray together, take this calendar and realize my song leader's praying while I'm praying. My pastor's praying. The pastor at Buffalo Ridge is praying. The pastor up at Bell Meadows is praying. The pastor up at Victory Baptist is praying. The pastor up there at Antioch Baptist is praying. And there are many more. I can't remember them all. But if we just realize, I got to meet a man. I've heard his name for years, Jerry Eggers. He's a pastor at Greendale Baptist Church on 19, Miss E, the way we used to go to Wise out of Abingdon. Right there at the light on that corner. I asked him if he knew Wayne and Mona Edwards. He said, oh, yeah. They go to his church. Wayne and Mona was going to church one morning, going across 19. The guy passed them pulling the bass boat. Mona looked over at Wayne and said, look at there, honey. Somebody's taking their boat to church with them this morning. I never have forgot that. Amen. I believe she was giving them the benefit of the doubt, don't you? Maybe they're going to have church on the lake. Amen. I don't know. Amen. I mean, it's glad you say. I mean, it's glad it's 7 o'clock and I'm done. Let's get out of here for the... Amen, Brother Houston. I already got an amen out of that corner anyway. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you something right now. I love you all. I can't wait to see you Wednesday night. I appreciate you from the bottom of my heart. Don't forget to pray for Brother Charlie. Don't forget to pray for the families that are grieving tonight. Brother Thurman and Sister Donna's family. Pray for traveling mercies. We still got some folks on the road trying to get back home. Pray for traveling mercies. And if you didn't get one of those calendars, I really would like for you to get one. But I want you to do it because the Lord nudged your heart. Because if you don't, you'll stick it in your Bible and forget about it. Just get that calendar. Let's pray together. Let's see what God will do. And those names that come to you real strong that you want us to pray. I was thinking a while ago, we might have to do this, Brother Brian. We might have to get us a God can up here. The children of Israel said, can God? We might just get us a God can, amen, and just bring those names up here and drop them in there. And maybe not only will we be praying at noon. There may be that somebody wants to come by the church and pray at times. Just get names out of that can. And pray for them. Say, God can. I'll tell you this. I'll guarantee you there are people who thought God couldn't in my life. But he did. He did. He did. And I appreciate him for it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our people. Thank you for this precious old book. Now, Lord, tonight, help us to leave here realizing, Lord, your work, whatever it is we're doing, is a great work. Help us, Lord, not to run from the work, but to run to it. In Jesus' name.